Okay. Tell me about the political side of your family.
There wasn't really a political side. We had Democrat and Republican. And you know the Democrats were always the most suggested side. And most of the people back in the woods that day, as you call it, they really didn't have a good fight. If you would have said, why are you voting this? They really didn't have a good fight. Other than they were just Democrat.
Right. Were there local newspapers or whatever that you could keep up with the outside world?
Yeah. Yeah, there was newspaper. But, you know, most time they only looked at funny papers.
Right. What did your family think about President Roosevelt?
Roosevelt was like any other president. He was one of the greatest people that ever lived. Now, if we could go back and get all the facts, he may not have been that wonderful. But you see, Roosevelt came in a day because you couldn't do any wrong. The country, everything was at a worst.
Right.
W-O-R-S-T. And you could not do any bad. So anything that he did had to be good.
Right.
So he began to bring it out of the backs.
Right.
So that was Roosevelt.
Right.
You don't give him all the credit. It's just this. He came along at the times when they were down.
Did the people around here favor him any because that he lived around Warm Springs area?
Well, sure, you know they did. Any president that lives in an area is going to be favored in that area. You know that.
Would he go out and see the people and
yeah.
meet with them?
Roosevelt loved moonshine whiskey. And I began to work in the early years of my employment with a friend called Fred Botts. Fred Botts was one of the first polio patients that ever came to the Warm Springs Foundation. He had polio and he was very stiff. So they sent him to Warm Springs in a box. He came to Warm Springs on a train. He was taken off in a box. And he was naturally Roosevelt's friend because Roosevelt wanted to start a center for the National Foundation.
Right.
And Roosevelt began to build this thing, and then Fred was one of the first patients. So many times I used to have lunch with Fred, and he told me that the many times that he and the president would get some moonshine from the cove, they'd drink it, they'd get a feeling of high. And Fred would say, I believe I can walk. And he'd say, by God, I believe I can too. And so the Secret Service men would get around him. They'd say, get around him. We're going to walk. Now, this is a fact. And they used to stand them up. And Fred and the president used to try, turn me loose. But they never walked any greater than they did the day before. It was only the moonshine producing highs like it still does today. Moonshine produces a terrible high.
Right.
So that's all right. If they only had that few feelings of high, it was worth it.
That's right. Okay. Well, as you started getting older and becoming an older young man, how did your life begin to change for you? Tell me about some of the things you got involved in.
I went to work at the Warm Springs rehabilitation, the place that Roosevelt started. I went to work as a push boy. I worked there, and what we would do, we would push patients to and from the treatment in the warm spring. Now, the water comes out of the ground, 88.6 at the bottom. And then we pump it up to the top, and we increase it to about 92, 94, 95, and 96. Warmth.
Right.
And some of the people get in it, and the warm water, there's never been nothing proven that the water's had any type of healing properties. But that's what my young days were. I worked there in the pool with the people that had young polio. And you know, back in those days, I remember so well of going into a training sessions that would teach us how to pump the people who couldn't breathe with polio and the iron lung, and we would pump them. See, those days they were run by electrical motors.
Mm-hmm.
But in the event of a failure, somebody had to pump them.
Right.
And then we trained, and we would rehearse, and we would pump those things. And then at a later date, when I went into radiology, we'd go up, and it would take many, many people. We would get around an hour long, and we'd get the X-ray machine ready. Ready. Everybody's ready. Then we would open the iron lung, slide the patient out immediately, slide the film under the back, and shoot it quickly, and put them back in there so that they wouldn't lose no more oxygen than necessary.
Interesting. How did you wind up getting that job at the hospital? Your first job. How did you wind up coming about for that?
I was working as a push boy,
right?
And I was a bad little old push boy. I was terrible. And one day they said to me, "Hey Brown, administration wants to see you." And I said, "Why don't they want to see Grady? He knocked out as many wonders as I did in the pool." And they said, "They don't want to see nobody but you." So I went up there, and the man says, "How would you like to have about a job?" I said, "Don't make no difference to me." Because long and then I was young, and I didn't care.
Right.
And so he said, an old gentleman in X-ray, he got to the point where he cannot lift his patient. How would you like to go down there and lift his patients for him? I said, "I'll try it." So that's how I got in radiology.
Right. Okay. Well, when did you first meet Florence Wissenhunt?
At the hospital. There was a section that was named as the baby section. And she was working. She was what you call an HST.
Which is what?
Household something. I can't really think of that, what that is now. But she worked with the young people.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little boy named David Collins. I'll never forget it. He was laying there. And she was changing his diaper. And I walked up and I asked her for a date. She said no. God, I wasn't used to being turned down. So the little boy, David Collins, he's grown up now to be a man. And I saw him in Panama City a few years ago. And And I screamed out, "David!" And he heard my voice and he realized it, you see. All that many years. But that's where I first met her, was when she was changing the diaper on David Collins for those little children with polio, see.
Well, when did y'all finally decide to get married?
Wasn't long after that. See, she wouldn't date me. And all those other girls would date me, and she wouldn't date me. So finally one day she dated me, and she found out I wasn't as bad as she thought I was.
Well, that's good. I'm glad of that. After you and Florence had gotten married, describe to me what life was like right after you gotten married. Was it hard or was it easy? And what types of things were you both of you involved in?
Terrible. Mother and father lived in a 3-room house. My daddy had a stroke, and he'd sold the farm. And he had moved into a 3-room house to try to maintain living status and sold the farm. And so we moved in it. We moved in there with him, which I should never have done. Never, never, never should have ever done that. And we was in there one night, and I was coming home from working at the cotton mill at that time. And the wife cooked me one thing, and the mama cooked me the next. And due to all of it, they got in a little conflict. So the next day, the wife comes to tell me this. She said, "If you go on with me, you come on. If you don't, you stay here. I have gone to Warm Springs and I have rented an apartment. If you go on with me, come on." So naturally, I went on.
Right.
And my mama told me then, she said, "Go on with her, boy. Go on with her. Go on with her." And man, I went down there to Warm Springs, and she had an apartment rented. Honey, I ain't never had no indoor bathroom before. Man, we had an indoor toilet. I tell you what, I left to crap myself to death for the first 5 days. God, we had an indoor toilet. But we didn't have a stove. We had a hot plate.
Right.
And I worked at the cotton mill. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to tell you something, man. Nobody's ever witnessed this. When I come in at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that little woman in there done cooked me breakfast on that hot plate. Oh, that's the best breakfast I have ever eaten in my life. I'm going to tell you right now. Oh, Lord, when I start trying to think about that, there's no words to describe how good that breakfast was. I'm not kidding you, man. I mean, man, that was something special. Good God Almighty. Man, that was good. Oh, God, you got that thing on it.
So was money tight during that time, too?
Tight. Forget money. There wasn't such thing as money. All you had, well, you just did your thing. And whatever happened, it happened. And most of the time, it happened without money.
Right. Okay, so as your marriage went on, when did you decide to have children?
You don't decide to have children. Only the elite sometimes decide to have children. You decide to have children when the little lady says, "Hey, I'm pregnant." That's when you decide to have them.
How many children did you have?
2.
Tell me about them.
Okay. Had a boy. Had another boy. Had 2 boys. both of them success? Far as I know, they're happy.
Okay.